I think it'd be nice if we started singing. Of course, we enjoy hearing children sing. Does anybody have a choice here this morning? Say it loud and clear so I can hear.
Number 11.
Number 11. First and last, number 11. Will your anchor hold in
the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain?
Someone start that, please. Like a girl this time. Does any girl have one? Well, okay then, how about this boy right there? The boy right beside you. 21, first and last of 21. Someone start that, please. First and last, 27. How these children, they know that on the back there are hymns for little children, but they're enjoying these big people songs. Number 25, life at best is very brief, first and last.
Oh.
first and last of number 8. Sing a little more later. Gracious God and loving Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful hymns we've sung together. We thank Thee for these children that can be here this morning. We just pray a blessing for them, as many questions they have as they go through life, and we pray that those questions may be answered from Thy precious word. They may take Thee, Lord Jesus, at a young age, not just as their Savior, but as the Lord of their life, and that the parents' prayers be answered. And so we leave this little time in Thy hands, and we think of the subject we have before us this morning, maybe a little bit difficult. So help us, Father, to break it down in such a way that it be a blessing to these children. And we ask this in the whole day before us. In Thy precious name we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I think it's kind of interesting this morning, children, that there are so many children this size right here on this row. These boys right in here and these folks right in here, they're anywhere from, what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 long in there. And there's not too many tiny ones. There's a few. And we're thankful to see them all there. Now, I'm going to suggest this morning, that the guys that are this big probably won't know what I'm going to say. You're going to understand some of it. You're going to understand more. And girls probably understand more than boys, so they're probably going to catch it. So I'm going to try to, in a half an hour, explain my subject in such a way that you can learn a little bit. Now, here's Brother Bruce Christensen. He likes birds, and I have to agree with him. Can you learn everything there is to know about birds in a half an hour? No. So we're going to take up with a subject here that I promise you, I'm probably going to make a few little tiny mistakes. But I'll tell you something. What you heard last night at the gospel meeting and the night before, there was no mistakes. None. It's the precious blood of Christ that can save you children from your sins. That's not what we're going to talk about this morning. You had a very clear gospel last night. But I want to talk about something else. So, you'll have to listen very carefully, and then your mom and dad might have to get their pencil out, and they'll have to say, you might say to your dad, Mom, what did that man mean when he said sovereignty? Pretty big word, and I couldn't spell it. I asked about 4 brothers before we got it figured out how to spell sovereignty. So, we're going to get started this way. I know sometimes it's fun to say verses and everything, and You just keep those verses right in your heart today, because there'll be a day when you'll be able to use them. Matter of fact, there's a little girl up our way. Her name is Abby. Her last name is Dunn. Abby Grace Dunn. And she's about probably 8 years old. And she told a little neighbor girl about the Lord Jesus. And this neighbor girl, her mommy and daddy were Muslim people. And this little girl, I don't know her name. I would have forgotten it if they told me. She listened to Abby. She listened to Abby and she said, yeah, I'd like to become a Christian, but my mommy and daddy probably beat up on me if I became a Christian. Give her spanking or something. So children, what you heard last night was the gospel. Now that gospel, he was preaching up here the last two nights, beautiful time. That was God's heart to you, that you might be saved. But there's something else, and that meets your need. But now, what is it that meets the Lord's need? The Lord has a need, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So you'll have to listen extremely carefully. I'll get out these copious notes here. Let's see if I can find them. Yes. All right. I'm first supposed to pray. And then it says, Brother Ruga told us that there was a hospitality room prepared for us at the motel. He wasn't sure where it was. He wasn't sure where that room was. And so he said, you'll have to go to the front desk and you'll have to ask and follow the instructions there. So that's exactly what I did. I went to the motel. Now you children probably were playing games and you don't know where this is maybe. But this is, I guess it's up that way, about 15 miles or so, motel where we're staying. And there's a hospitality room there that we were told we could go and enjoy some nice fellowship and singing. So I went to the front desk because I didn't know where it was, and I said, could you please tell me where the hospitality room is for this conference that they're having? Oh yes, he said, you just go right past this room here, past the cafeteria, and take a right and go way down the end of the hall and through a couple more doors and you'll find it. Now, children, that's exactly what I did. I had to do several things there. First of all, I had to listen. You know, sometimes I don't listen very good. But I had to listen. And then I had to watch, see where she was pointing. And then I had to believe what she said. And then I had to do it. And you know where I found myself? Well, I found myself thirsty. Maybe the brothers could get me a drink of water. I went down the hall a little ways, and I went past one hospitality room. It said Continental. I suppose the Continental people meet in there. And there's another one, Harry's room. And then it was dark in there, and then I went past another hospitality room, and there was wonderful, nice food served there. I know, I had some of it. But that wasn't the appointed place. That wasn't the real place. I was to go down the hall, and I went down all the way down that way to the end of that hall, through a couple doors, and I thought, I see someone. They were beckoning for me to come in. So I thought, yeah, this is the place. And I remember someone was following me, and it was Brother Council. And I saw he stopped in this one hospitality room, and he was wandering around in there looking for everybody. I said, no, brother, it's this way. Go around here and come on around back here. Okay, he said, I missed my way. He said, thank you. And so I was able to help him to find his way into that hospitality room, the place that was appointed. Thank you, my brother. I'll take a drink. Well, there was a place that was appointed for those that were part of this company here. And if you walked in there, here's a doorway and here's a trash bin here, and then here's beautiful white tables all set up and plenty of delicious refreshments. And the brethren were in there speaking about the Lord Jesus, invited me to come in and sit down with them. Well, that was very nice. But I passed up several hospitality rooms on the way in there. And none of them was the right place. There's a place I could have gotten one hospitality room and got a hold of some very bad stuff. It was smoky in there. And then there was another one that was, boy, that was really good food in there. But still, that wasn't the place that the brother here said that was set aside and prepared for us. So, I walked through the night lane. Look, here's a trash can. Well, whatever would you need a trash can for? Nice hospitality. Well, sometimes we bring stuff in there that doesn't belong in there. And so if you walk in there, you get rid of your trash, and when you're done eating, you get rid of trash. Sometimes we get a lot of trash. You know, there's a place in the ocean, I think they call it the Sargasso Sea, where the wind doesn't blow very much down there. And there's all kinds of trash in the ocean. There's styrofoam cups all over the place, and styrofoam bottles and cans and jars and wood and junk and seaweed. And it's just a trashy place. Well, anyway, that's beside the point. So the point is here, there was a designated place for the guests at this conference. Now, page 2. That one room where I found Brother Council, Bert Council, he could have sat down there and had a good meal. He could have had a Reuben sandwich and it really would have tasted good. I know why I had one there. But I want to tell you something about tell you something about Brother Council. When he was a young man, he was 16 years of age. He told me this yesterday. He asked his mom, or someone dear to him, he says, "Mom, why don't we go here? Why don't we go to this church? Why don't we go to that church? Why does somebody go to this church and somebody go to that church?" You know what he said to me? This is what went through that 16-year-old boy's mind. "Lord Jesus, where are you anyway? Lord Jesus, where are you anyway?" Now, children, here it is, Lord's Day morning. I got up this morning, well, actually it was yesterday morning, I got up and I opened the telephone book for this area, a couple of counties, not a very big book. It was the yellow pages and the white pages. And I opened it up to churches. You know, the Lord must have a hospitality room somewhere. Somewhere. And that's what that 16-year-old boy, now that was 60 years ago maybe, 61 years ago, I don't know how old the brother is, but a long time ago, he asked that question. And the Lord put it in his mind, the Lord put it in his heart, and it never got out. He always wanted to know where that place was. Now, by God's grace, I believe he's found it. I'm not going to tell you where it is this morning exactly, but I'm going to tell you how to get there. Or the path there, the teaching that will take you there. So if you get this phone book out and you start looking at the many places where there's fellowship rooms, hospitality rooms, places where you can go and meet God. And you know how many I found? How many do you think there are? A phone book is about this thick. How many places do you think there are where I could go and be invited? There's invitations. If they put their name in the phone book, that means you're welcome to come. How many places do you think there were in this area where I could go and worship this morning? Could you, anybody render a guess? Within an hour's drive, yeah.
75?
Mm-hmm. How many do you think?
Mm-hmm.
20, I thought maybe 20 or 75 long there, but go ahead, what do you think?
10.
Well, 50, well, we're getting closer. Could someone else give me a little higher guess?
63,
okay. Keep going higher. 80, no, way over 300. Can you imagine 300 hospitality rooms where the Lord Jesus, many of them, they would say, "Yes, you come and meet the Lord Jesus here." Now, here's what I have on this thing right here. It says, can somebody read that for me? Let's see, how about this? That boy at the end. You have to read it real loud.
"Yea, he loved the people, all his
Yes, isn't that lovely? All his saints are in thy hand. And that's such a precious thing. When you meet Christians here and there in your everyday life at school, you can look at that verse and you can just be so happy about it that he loves all those dear people. He loves them. And I meet them almost every day where I work. And they say to me, Dave, after we enjoy the Lord Jesus together, they say, what church do you belong to? Oh, I say, I'm just so happy to tell you that I belong to the same one you do. And they kind of get a look on their face. They'd never seen me in their life before. Kind of interesting. Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about. So, with 300 invitations, so I get up on Lord's Day morning and I go to one of these places. I knock on the door and I say, could we come in? It's a little early. Well, they say, well, actually, we had our services yesterday. So, well, it's on the first day of the week we're supposed to meet the Lord Jesus. Then I go to another place. I look over the door and it says this. I'll have to turn to it here. It says over the door of this place, it's called St. Paul's Church. And the Lord says here, now this I say, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul. Well, there it is. This was written 2,000 years ago. And see how true it is. And I go to another one, and I saw this in the book, this book that belongs to these two counties here. St. Peter's Church. And it says another, Cephas, I think that's Peter, isn't it? And then another one says, of Christ. And there's Christ Church. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm starting to get a little bit confused now. Then I go to another one, and I say, tell me about your church. And they say, well, we believe that you have to be baptized before you can ever get to heaven. These are Christians? Probably so. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But then to finish off your salvation, you have to be saved. Now, I realize we've got a half an hour here, and we're about halfway through, so I can't go into any details. Another place, they might say, well, you can come in here. And I say, well, who's the pastor here? And I looked in this one little list, and there was one name called Reverend Lois Peacock. That was who pastored that place. And so I say, well, the women are not supposed to preach. And so I go on down the road and I find out there's names of important people like Wesley and Mr. Luther, wonderful people. Oh my, are they wonderful people. But you know, when you think about the Lord Jesus and his wonderful name, you don't want to put any name next to that, do you? The name of the Lord Jesus is so precious. Oh, it's so wonderful. You don't want to put any name above it? Of course not. You don't want to put any name beside that name of the Lord Jesus? Of course not. You don't even want to put any name below that name of Jesus. You don't want to put any name anywhere near that name of Jesus. You want to put men's names way over there somewhere, down over there. So anyway, I get frustrated and I say, well, now where? Lord, like the brother said, he said, Lord Jesus, where are you anyway? I don't know. So how do you find out where the Lord Jesus has his hospitality room, where he would like to meet with you? Now, remember, the gospel of the grace of God is God wants to meet your need. Now, he has a need. He wants to have fellowship with you. Isn't that amazing that God would want to have fellowship with you? Well, he does. So, matter of fact, you go to some place and you walk in there and there's a big tree and the people fasten it with some hammer and nails and they bow down with presents and put them on it. You wouldn't want to go in there. You read about that in Jeremiah chapter 10. Well, let's go on here. If I was a Christian man and I lived here in Vineland, where would I find place where the Lord is. Well, it's something like this. This church that the Lord has made here, you can't join it. Oh, wait a minute. What? You can't join it? Nope, you can't. You can't join it, and once you're in it, you can't get out of it. So how do you get in it? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says there, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship, hospitality room. Now, that's not exactly the thought. Fellowship is the thought. The fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the only way you can get into God's church is he has to call you. And that's wonderful, he does. And he says, sinner, you come. I want to save your soul. And so once you get saved, you find out you're in the church. There's only one church. Now I got a question. If you were in an airplane and you were way up high and you looked down on this area, how many churches would you see? Well, you'd see all kinds of churches. Now, how many churches does God see when he looks down on this area? See, we're getting through. We're getting through. Not two, just one. Now, where is that church? This is going to really stump him. Where do you think that church is? You've done an excellent job answering the first question. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people don't know the answer to the question you're trying to answer. You think about it, because I might ask you, what if I asked a teenager here that question? Where is that church? Is it in Dorothy, New Jersey? In heaven, some people think it is. No, it's here on earth, but where? Well, it isn't a building, is it? It's a company of believers that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the church that the Lord Jesus purchased with his precious blood. So when I look down on this world, or the pilot looks down over the edge of the airplane, he looks down, how many church steeples does he, how many churches would he see? Well, he sees lots of them. But when God looks down, he sees just one. Do you understand that? Now that little Christian girl, who knows a Christian neighbor at school that nobody else knows? Just a special friend at school that knows the Lord Jesus. One of you boys know anybody at school that knows the Lord Jesus? Well, let's just say yes, you do. I know you do if you thought about it. That person is part of the church. Are they? They don't go to the Dorothy meeting room. But they're Christians. They're part of the same church you are, if you're a Christian. Same one. Now, wait, I got to get this figured out here. This man over here, he loves the Lord Jesus. He's part of the same church that I am, the church that the Lord Jesus purchased with his precious blood. How come I get up in the morning and I get in my Dodge Caravan, put my Bible under my arm, and I drive this way to worship the Lord? And then lo and behold, I see another man. He got in his Dodge Caravan, he put his Bible under his arm, and he's driving this way. He's going to worship the same Lord. What's going on here? Same kind of Bible, same kind of car, going different directions to a different place to meet the Lord. How can this be explained? Oh, I'll tell you why. We men have added all kinds of things that are wrong to our worship of the Lord, and we have confused things so badly, and we have to sometimes apologize that we've done so badly. But you know, when God looks down at his family, he would like to see them all together in one place, just like Acts chapter 2. Now, in Acts chapter 2, children, there was the Lord just formed the church. He brought all these believers into one circle, and it's called the body of Christ. And he's the head, and he looks at that family as a unit. And now, think about this. It was so pure back then. It was so wonderful, so clean and pure. And then as time went on for 2,000 years, it got all mixed up. There's all kinds of confusion. You say, what church do you go to? What church? That's a bad question. And so then there's coming a time when we're all going to be gathered up to heaven. First of all, on the cloud, we meet the Lord in the air. Is that right? We meet the Lord in the air. So here in the book of Acts, it was pure. And when we meet on the cloud, it was pure, right? Because everything else either had to be dismissed or blown off when we get taken up to be with the Lord Jesus. All these confusing things that we've done as men have got to go. That's what that trash barrel's for. If you want to meet with the Lord Jesus, you have to let go of every other name. Every other name. Because there's only one name that God recognizes. Now, that was getting a little bit deep, a little bit difficult to understand. I'm going to give you something. Listen carefully now. When you, by the way, I've never ever heard of people talk to children about this. It's too hard maybe, but I think if you pick up a little bit, you'll be doing good. There's a loaf of bread on the table here in 1 hour. Loaf of bread. And that loaf makes us think of every single Christian on the face of the whole earth without exception. Now, very difficult question. The meeting where you go, children, how many people does that meeting represent? It's not quite right. I can't quite get the right words out here for youngsters. It represents something. That loaf on the table represents, well, how many people go to your meeting? About 100? He's whispering 100. About 100. Okay. Well, does that loaf on the table just represent that 100 people? No. That loaf on the table represents millions of people. So if you say to somebody, how many people does your church represent? And they say, well, our membership is about 5,000. Whoa, 5,000. But you know something? That's not enough. Not enough. Not enough. I would like to see something that represented all the people of God. Right? What does this say here? Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hand. I would like to see something that represented every single Christian on the face of the whole earth. So, if there's just a few people in your little meeting there, where you go, children, or older ones, young people especially. Now, let's talk about some teenagers here, 18, 19, 20 years old. There's only a dozen or so of us. Well, when you see that loaf on the table on Lord's Day morning, that represents not just 12 or 15 people, or 5,000 people, that represents every child of God on the face of the whole earth. I know where there's a place where there's sometimes 7,000 in the congregation. 7,000. And sometimes they don't even have a loaf. There's just so many people, they say, well, maybe it's just too confusing to have a break in a bread. We'll just forget about it. Or we'll do it 3 times a year maybe, and we'll do it in a little side room there. But they don't understand sometimes, children, that loaf should represent every Christian on the face of the earth. And then satisfies the heart of Christ. That satisfies the heart of Christ. Now, let's sing another song. Number 32. First and last.
Oh, precious is the blood.
Jesus wants fellowship with his people. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Satan came along and he managed to trick Eve, Adam, into taking of the fruit that they shouldn't have taken. And when the Lord came to visit with them, they were hiding, weren't they? The Lord wants to have fellowship with us. And he tells us in his word how to find the place where he is. And you can write down, if you want to, think real hard sometime, children, about that. Luke chapter 22. Where do you want us to go? Where wilt thou? The day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. You enter into the house where he entereth in, and so on. That's a good place to start. And you'll find out later on, children, that in the Old Testament, there was one altar. They just couldn't go anywhere they wanted to worship the Lord. And sometimes parents have this question to ask. They'll say, Mom, Johnny and Susie down the street want us to come to church with them next Sunday morning. And then the parent has to say, well, I know Johnny and Susie love the Lord. And matter of fact, they've got a wonderful testimony in the neighborhood. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to tell my children? You know what I'd suggest you tell your children? The truth. That's a wonderful thing to tell. The truth. And the truth is, there's just one gathering center. The Lord Jesus is the gathering center. We're gathered together unto him. And sometimes people say, well, what's the name of your church? You kind of shift from one foot to another, and you have to say it. And when you finally get it off your lips, it's beautiful. Sometimes it brings very unusual responses. I am gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you have any other suggestions? Would there be any other name that's better than that to gather to? Yeah, I know that's trouble. What kind of a handle can I put on you? I mean, tell me, they want to put some kind of a lid or handle on you so they know where you're coming from. But you can tell them, children, by the grace of God, I'm gathered to the name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the ground that there's one body. And you know why I'm there today, children, by his grace? Is because of this right here. What does that say? Sovereignty. Boy, that's a big word. Now, you parents, you go home now, or after the conference, and you explain to your children what sovereignty is. And it's my responsibility to submit to God's sovereignty. Brother told me that one time. And so sovereignty means this, children, I think. God can do as it pleases him according to his mind and according to his divine ways. He can do things just exactly like he wants to do, and he's not asking for your opinion. So I'm saved. Was that the sovereignty of God? Oh, my mommy and daddy were Christians, loved the Lord Jesus, and I was born into that family. Was that the sovereignty of God? Oh, yes, it was. It was wonderful. I remember my daddy singing songs to me in the middle of Africa, trust and obey. Remember that. And I have a dear, dear, dear Christian wife. She's also gathered to the Lord's precious name, and she's so precious. I didn't deserve that woman. Why did I get that woman? See there? Sovereignty. And what's more than that, children? I was brought up in a family that my daddy would rather die than disobey the word of God. And he presented these things to me when I was just a little boy, and I appreciated that. And you know, that was sovereignty. I didn't have anything to do with it. And then was gathered to his precious name. Didn't appreciate it very much at first. Maybe I don't now either. Or maybe I could explain it better if I did. That's sovereignty. God's doing just what he wants to do. And he doesn't ask your opinion about it at all. He doesn't need to. And the blessings that you children have here, your parents gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ on the principle that's so broad and so wide that that loaf on the table represents every child of God on the face of the earth. That's a comfortable place to be because that's the way the Lord wants it. And of course, we have to remember that because we men have done so many things to mess things up. We can't fellowship with everybody out there. Can't do that. So with these remarks, parents maybe could build on them if they saw fit. And you children can think about that. Think about that. What a blessed thing is to just simply sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to hear his words, to hear his voice, and give to him the worship that belongs to him. We're going to worship him forever. And so when we're young, when you kids have listened real good this morning, thank you. When you're young, you sit there and your mommy and daddy are singing praises to the Lord and you have that hymn book and you can read it. Of course you can read it and you can just ignore it. Oh no, pick it up, look at it. And you'll read there about the Lord Jesus' love and who he is. I'll leave one thought more and then we're going to stop. Children's meeting. Someone gets up and they present Christ to the children. Young people's meeting. Someone gets up and they present Christ to the young people. In all of his beauty and all of his excellency. And then you have a reading meeting. We present Christ to one another. And then we have a gospel meeting. We're presenting Christ to the lost. But then there's another meeting. It's called a remembrance meeting. We're presenting Christ in all of his beauty and all of his glory and perfections. We're presenting him to God the Father. Oh, that fills his heart. That fills God's heart with joy to hear you speak well of his son. Someone comes up to me and says, oh, Dave, I really enjoyed what your son did or what he said. Makes my heart happy. And so we won't be singing in the next meeting, we won't be singing gospel hymns. We won't be singing gospel hymns. And we won't be singing songs about ourselves. We'll be singing songs, hopefully, we'll be singing songs about the Lord Jesus and all of his beauty and splendor. And you know, that's a hospitality room for him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, precious Savior, maybe they didn't get it this morning, but maybe they heard just a little something that they could get a hold of and it become precious to them. And like the dear brother, he said, Lord Jesus, where art thou? Just bless these children, each one of them. And as they grow up in this world that's so twisted, broken, so full of sin and confusion, Lord Jesus, keep their eyes and their hearts true, clear, and pure. And may they all sit at thy feet and hear thy word, Lord Jesus. We think of how all thy saints, yea, he loved the people. All thy saints are in thy hand. What a beautiful verse, Lord Jesus. And so help us through the rest of the day. And we think of that funeral tomorrow, that 9-year-old boy, Braden. And as the mommy and daddy, they look upon that lifeless form there, grandparents, neighbors, friends, cousins, uncles, aunts. Oh, Lord, we just pray for them and leave ourselves in those wonderful hands with thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. Amen.